Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to another episode of the best podcast on the internet, the best podcast on Facebook, the best podcast on iTunes, the best podcast on Stitcher, and the best podcast on Google Play, where you can subscribe and download on there too. We are so happy to be back this week. Let's just say we took spring break early last week, and I also want to say that I was really overwhelmed, emotionally, not physically, with all the outreach that we had from you guys saying, hey, we were looking for the show, where was it this week? We had tweets, I had text messages from people that I know. It was great, and thank you guys so much for all of that. It lets us know you're listening, and it lets us know you're enjoying. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, he's a teacher, he's an author, he's a traveler, he's a speaker, he's a basket weaver. I made that last part up. Ladies and gentlemen, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings to all our listeners. We want to welcome you to another episode of Raw Islam with my dear brother Carl and I. And I want to apologize for last week. I have been not the best of health, as I am currently recuperating from something which I don't know myself. But alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for health. We thank Allah for his blessings. And we thank him for the ability to realize the importance of the blessings that he has showered upon all of us. You know, Carl, while I was in the midst of this illness, I didn't want to smell food, forget seafood, you know, like just the mere sight of food or the aroma of food, which at one time would be so, it'd bring water to the mouth, and you would gravitate towards it because, you know, it would spark that hunger and craving in you, became so distant, and it became so like, I don't want it. And then in the last few days, I've started having the inclination to food again, the things I like, and to get back to my regular diet. And you know what that made me realize, Carl? That is that sometimes when we have a phase or a moment that we distance ourselves from something that we take for granted, we really go back to it in a more appreciative manner. Is that a fair statement, Carl?
Yes, it is. No, you're absolutely right. Because if you, and I'll actually jump on this with you, because there's actually something that I've been struggling with something myself, not like that, but so my last trip that I took, I actually got super sick, and it was from kofta that I got sick. And what ended up happening was, like you said, just that smell, that sense that you just don't want to be near it. You don't want to be around it. You feel so gross and disgusting. But then when you're finally able to eat it and you're finally able to tolerate it, you're like, oh, this was so good. I missed this.
Yeah. And it's so true. And I think all our listeners could kind of relate to that in one way or another, that things that we phase out from, we usually go back all in. And I used that example in the course of my illness last week to ask myself a very simple question. When was the last time that I felt disconnected from something which wasn't food? And I gave myself the example of faith. You know, there's time when you feel a bit disconnected from your faith, you feel disconnected from worship, and things happen, circumstances arise that should kind of thrust you forward or back to the faith. And you should go, you know, with arms open to embrace it and to welcome it and to, you know, benefit from it. And I came to a conclusion, a premature conclusion, that hasn't happened thus far, at least for me. that when you feel a disconnect, that you go back in a much more stronger way, in a more appreciative manner, in a manner that you will embrace everything and truly value it. And this is kind of leading up to where we're going to cover. I know we have 2 weeks to cover. We want to talk about the trip to Idaho and the Sharia program that took place there. And I want to thank everyone in Idaho, especially for those who may be listening tonight or those who have subscribed to the podcast itself, how truly their presence and their efforts on the ground made this event a successful one. We'll cover that. Want to kind of touch base on the ISNA conference we had this weekend here in South Florida. And I want to talk about the continuous discussion in our nation, which is pertaining to guns and schools and administrations and students and education, and wrap that all in with an upcoming interfaith event we're going to have in Orlando, which will be Faith and Guns in America. So, Carl, you know, we're constantly talking about the same thing like a broken record, and that is, you know, Islamophobia, hate crimes on the rise, hate against Islam, a letter being circulated in the Great Britain that is calling on April 3rd for, you know, harassing a Muslim. Carl, did you see that letter?
I did. I did see that. And, you know, besides disgusting, it's stupid. It hurt my brain that somebody actually took the time to sit down and write that and mail that. And it's like, you know, your fingerprints are on that. You know, there's a stamp on that. You know, they're going to find you. Why would you do this? Why would you stick yourself out there like that? And why, for the love of God, why would you try to push an agenda of hate so much?
But Carl, that's exactly the point we're not getting. We got sick of each other. And instead of recuperating and going back towards that togetherness and unity and appreciation of the community, we're still sick. And that goes for a Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, a European, an American. This is plaguing us on a large scale. And the reason why that person did it, Carl, is because there's no regret, there's no remorse. Who cares if my fingerprints are on it? It's actually considered something good. Understand, evil has now taken a phase where it's actually justified. It's good. You should do it. You know, there's a couple that was sentenced to jail because they harassed a Muslim child during a birthday party. Sorry, a colored child during a birthday party. But until that moment that they were sentenced, in their inner self, they felt they were right. What they're doing is justifiable. And so that's exactly what's happening in our country. We, in our country, I don't want to talk about the world right now because we have enough problems of our own. We have come to a point where we have adopted the trend of illness and sickness and ignorance and hate and spite and venomous agendas. And we're actually doing it with our fingerprints, with our signature, because we want people to more to say that you are the ones who stood up for what was right at a time of wrong. We've gone totally 180 on this issue. And so that's exactly when we talk about the broken agenda, like the broken record, the constant, repetition of the same old, same old, same old. It's because of one reason, Carl. If there's no one out there who talks about what things were supposed to be like by default, we may all embrace the current reality as default tomorrow. So there has to be voices, and there has to be actions, and there has to be movements towards upholding goodness, upholding justice, upholding peace, upholding racial equality, upholding community, a growth of a community and what that entails. But it's not going to happen by someone falling out of the sky and telling us to do it. We literally have to create that movement again and remind people there is something called health, and there's something called food, and there's something called water and drink, which is better than pills and supplements and tablets and antibiotics and intravenous. They're just something else. So don't take this to be the norm. Let's not grow up in a society that medicines are the norm and food is foreign. Food is the norm. Medicines are foreign. But again, I'm hoping through the different examples of different angles that I'm providing to our listeners tonight, they understand where I'm coming from. Because This is the new America. This is the new world. This is the new human culture. It's happening in Sri Lanka as we speak. There is an outpour. It's a spillover effect from Myanmar and India that's happening in Sri Lanka, where they're killing and they're destroying masjids and businesses and killing Muslims. There is this rivalry between Buddhists and Muslims over there, when again, this thing has been around for too long. And Carl, I want you to put your two cents in it before I move on. I'm sorry, I'm talking too much tonight on this.
No, we I feel like we do this every week. It's, and just for those at home, the adhan is going off in the background for Isha, for me. So that's what that noise is. But no, I feel like we do this every week. It's the Imam Azhar show, not my show. So you're allowed to talk as much as you want. But I think for me, I was just shaking my head because the whole Myanmar issue is just, it hurts my brain. And to have people say, oh, it's not a religious issue, it's a political issue. Oh, it's not run to this, it's because of that. It's not because of this, it's because of that. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Actual, measurable, visual genocide is taking place, and it has to be noted, and we have to pay attention, because the minute that you are only focused on what's on CNN or what's on MSNBC, or maybe some of our fans enjoy Fox News, I doubt it, but maybe
they do.
It's, I mean, it could be there, but the minute you start paying attention to that over what else is going on in the rest of the world, those people are already hurt. And I know today in the work that I do, I actually saw that there's an upcoming, I think it's on the 15th, there's an upcoming movement to call the senators and call your congressmen and tell them to intervene in Syria. Tell them to do something, you know?
Spillover. How many problems are we going to address? You wake up in the morning, you're having your coffee, you're getting your kids ready, and you're watching MSNBC, CNN, Fox, whatever you're watching. The global problems are not ending, but the global problems can continue, or they can be resisted based on your actions or your inaction. And that's why we're focusing on introspection, rectification of our own actions and lives, so that we can represent what it means to be good and what goodness entails. So I was in Idaho last week, and I wanted to update our listeners. Over there, a similar problem. You got a state, which is such a beautiful state, great people, great communities, being plagued by the hate of Sharia is coming. So for 2 years, one of their senators has been trying to push a bill, anti-Sharia bill. It failed. This year, he's pushing the anti-foreign law bill, which means that Sharia law and all other religious laws cannot be practiced in the state of Idaho, making a ant look like a like Godzilla. And I had a great time in the two and a half days I was there. Got there, met with some top people, both from the community, from the leadership role of people who have been fighting against this hate, educating people who are concerned with this hate. And it ended with a three-hour presentation at a church, the Chapel on the Rockies in downtown Boise, where we had a good number of attendees. We had people from the government, we had the chief of police, and we had many concerned Samaritans of the community come together, along with many Muslims, and have a candid, open discussion to understand what Sharia entailed. And in the course of that discussion, I highlighted a segment from BBC where they had covered a few months ago, actually in 2017, the alarming rate of child marriages in America, which in the span of 5 years is over 200,000. And one of the largest states with children marriages is Kentucky, Florida, and Idaho. So we talked about that, and it was a big shocker to many people, because in their own state, in their own city where they reside, where they work, where they shop, where they enjoy with their families, many of them didn't know that Idaho is a state where children are being married off. And so my point to them was I'm not here to say go fix your own mess, or I'm not here to rub your face in the dirt. I'm here to tell you that we have bigger problems here in our own home that we can work towards fixing that could help eliminate the other problems that might seep in because of it. And a lot of people did agree. But, you know, at the end of it, Carl, there was one of those youngsters who had been planted. Because remember, Islamophobia is a multi-million dollar industry. Their Act for America, I believe, like a $200 million industry. Their goal is to demonize something which they call evil. So, Carl, if I tell you the feces in your toilet is dirty, do I have to do a campaign of millions of dollars to tell you that it's dirty?
No. Poo is bad.
Common sense, right? If you can't see it, you'll smell it. If you smell it, it's good enough. Stay away from it. I don't need to spend millions of dollars to educate you. Don't touch what's in the toilet. It's the same way. If Islam is that evil and nasty and dirty, why do you have to do a campaign to tell people of $200 million? One of the youngsters stood up. I believe he was Christian Egyptian. And he came out with how the Muslims killed the Yazidis and how the Muslims spread by the sword. I had to... And that was exactly at the 11th hour. This program is now ended. It's 8:59. We're done. And here he comes to spoil this. But you know what? I welcomed his concerns. I welcomed his thing, his claims. And I countered them. And there was a point where he couldn't speak. And ultimately, we agreed that instead of indulging in the past, let's focus on the present so that we can make a better future tomorrow. And he nodded his head. So I think that program, which was over 200 attendees, was a great program, got back. And, you know, we're facing now the gun problem here, Carl. Did you know, Carl, that Florida passed a law and our governor signed it? Did you know about that?
If I'm not mistaken, that would be the 21 and over law. Is that correct?
And that sounds amazing, right? Only people who are 21 and older can buy guns. And we ban bump stocks. And there is a 3-day period that has to go through. You have to go through checks before you can buy a gun. It's not going to be like walk in, walk out. And everyone's so happy about that. I'm sure you'd be happy listening to that. But there's one part that no one's talking about, but we know. And that is arming our schools. That there's going to be teachers in our school armed with guns, and there's a law passed now. So from next year, or maybe this year, whatever's left of it after spring break, teachers will be armed. And this is truly a big setback. Having gun laws, we should have always had gun laws. Having separation of church and state is a symbol that we in this country embrace the first, but there's a line. Yes or no, Carl? There's a line.
No, there is a line. There is.
Right? And so for the first, there's a line. There's a line. There's a territory, church and state. Church could do, mosque could do, synagogue could do whatever they want to. Right? And that's what the Sharia bill is about, where people of different faiths in different states can practice their law when it comes to family law, when it comes to inheritance, when it comes to divorce, when it comes to child custody. There is a certain leverage you can have, but the judge of the state has to sign off on it. And by introducing these anti-Sharia bills, all you're doing is saying, you know what? Let us burden our judges in our courthouses with these arguments and debate, which will take more time and more money away from the more important cases. So if we have a territory defined for church and state under the first, why not for the second? Israel has one of the strictest gun laws. Under 27, no one could purchase a gun. And then they have to go through vigorous training, mental, physical, and the like. And then there's annual, I think, reevaluations. How come that's not happening here in America? So he went to solve a problem, and the state is being sued because of this law, because he passed the law of 21, because he banned bump stocks, because he made it more difficult. The NRA is suing the state of Florida. NRA is suing the state of Florida, but they're not looking at the fact that he caused a bigger problem, having maybe the janitor, the technician, the supervisor, a teacher, anyone is holding a gun and you don't know it. And so that makes it much more difficult. And that is a problem that Carl is making myself and many others speak the same language, which is, do we continue to send our school kids to school the following year, or do we move out, or do we homeschool? This is a big problem for us here in Florida.
So we have a comment in the chat room here. And for those of you that are watching this on YouTube or that are listening to the audio later, if you join us on Facebook, just look for the Venn Network. You can see the logo. It's right here in the corner. And it's also on my t-shirt, which we will show off later. But we have a comment in the chat room here that says, having teachers armed scares me as a student more than I'm afraid of someone actually coming into the school and shooting it up. So my response to that actually is that shortly after we were talking about arming the teachers, there was a teacher that actually started shooting the classroom up. He didn't hit anybody, and I think it turned out to be an emotional issue. But why did the teacher have that gun in the room? And I know right here, and I think it was Alexandria City today. I could be wrong about that. But I think it was here in Alexandria City, one of the armed security guards, his gun actually went off in the school today as well. And I know when that alert popped up on my phone, I was like, we didn't have armed guards when we went to school. We didn't have metal detectors. We didn't have any of that stuff. We didn't have, I think they call them safety officers.
Uh-huh.
And how is somebody walking around with a loaded 9mm supposed to be a safety officer?
And a school is so big, a person could enter from anywhere. It's like, again, are we living in the new norm, or is this the same old problem just getting worse? I believe it's a problem that's getting worse. This cannot become the new norm. We went to school. I went up to junior high in this country. I went to high school in America. I finished my high schooling in England. This was never something a person could ever perceive, that there's going to be guns, there's going to be metal detectors. This stuff doesn't make sense. So, Carl, you know, we could continue talking about the gun issue, but this will be a continuous topic that we may be touching upon for weeks to come as we continue to remind ourselves and our listeners on a weekly basis. Take time out when you listen to this podcast or when you listen to this live stream and remind yourselves of what type of world you want. And when we put the religious aspect to this and we put a religious touch to this, or we sprinkle this cake with a bit of sugar of spirituality, the goal is that we, yourself and myself and our listeners, strive towards goodness, strive towards that inclusion, strive towards betterment. And that's only going to happen if you and I take the initiative first. We can't wait for the government, elected officials, our president, foreign government agencies, or anyone else to take the step. The step comes from you. If you've got the thought, you've got the motivation, you take the lead. So with that, you know, Carl, this weekend, South Florida hosted its first ISNA conference after many years. And it was an amazing conference. The theme was great. The sessions were great. And, you know, I felt that this was so much needed. And I hope, and I want to applaud ISNA for the great job that they did. And I hope they continue doing these type of day conferences in every state, because having one grand convention is great. Like in Houston, it's coming up in the end of August. But to truly have reminders where we could come together and discuss current issues, where we can empower ourselves with the tools that are solutions that we could take back to our homes, our mosques, our schools, and our communities, is essential. Because, Carl, at the end of the day, you could have millions of books. It's not going to solve a problem. You go to a lawyer's office, they got hundreds, thousands of books. How many problems have those books solved? They're reference points for solutions that were adopted for problems that existed. You and I need to start writing the new book of our future, the new book of solutions for the problems that we face. We are facing tragic problems. It is costing the lives of individuals. Suicide rate is up. No one's talking about that. What you call gun shootings. You know the threats in Miami? I was reading the newspaper. I actually skimmed the front page. Since the one that happened in Parkland, we've had close to 960 hoax threats in schools across America that there's going to be a shooting or something else. This is unacceptable. I want to go in and understand my biology and geography and algebra, but I don't want to go in fearing for my life. So, you know, Carl, ISNA was great. And just to my last few words is I had two sessions at ISNA. One was how to counter Islamophobia and see that this is not a problem. Rather, this is a process towards something better. So that was good. But my most favorite session was the future of mosques in America. And in a nutshell, I'll leave that with the listeners and we could take your comments and I might discuss in the next week. My assumption in my assessment of what I see and what I know is that we are on the path of failure and we're going to hit a wall very soon if we don't change course in how our spiritual centers function and what they focus upon and what their long-term vision is.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, brings us to the end of another amazing episode of the Raw Islam Podcast. And before we go tonight, let's just take care of all our administrative things. If you like our logo, which is right here in the corner, and you think, wow, I'd really love to wear that like I am right now, head over to vennetwork.org. Right on the front page, lower left hand side, click on the link and you can get one for yourself and you help support the network, you help support the show, and you help support the hosts as well. It's not much, but hey, it's something better than nothing. We do have one more question in the chat room that I will throw back to you. We'll go into overtime tonight. I wish I had some sound effects. Overtime! The question in the chat room from Ariana, she would like to know, what is your opinion on the school walkouts tomorrow?
It hurts my heart. Two ways. That number one, children are leaving their education and walking out. It hurts me, but hear me out here. It hurts me because we've reached a point that it seems that there's no other choice but to do so. The teachers of Virginia walked out and they kept out until West Virginia, they kept out until they got a pay. It's their right. Teachers are being paid scraps. And that is they are the people who are giving their all to make you the best for this country. It's like, it's not rocket science. I want to give everything I have so that my children or my students could be the beacons of greatness in this country for the world tomorrow. And if we're not investing in them and they're not transmitting that goodness to those children and those children not raised to compete in the global scale of technology and medicine and advancements in sciences, where are we? So West Virginia did it. They proved it. Now other states are doing that. As for the children, it's sad that education has to be compromised, but it seems that there's no other choice now because no one's listening. It hurts. You know, I'm actually, and I'll say it here first, I'm actually considering stepping down from being an advisor to the Florida Department of Education for almost 13 years. I do have a call at the end of this month, and I'm planning to step down. Although my role was minuscule, it was practically nothing. But for us as faith leaders to get together and discuss problems, to discuss solutions, to discuss ideas, after school programs, mentorship program, fathers being involved in school. So many things we have discussed over the years from the time of Joyce Hobson till now. And it's been four different leaders have changed and I've been on the same board. To me, it's like, it's failure. So it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. And all I can say is Allah tells us in the Quran to stand up for justice for the sake of God, even if it's against ourselves, our parents, or our relatives. Justice is justice. Justice is blind. Justice is truth. And once we smudge or fudge justice, it will come back to bite us first. So Carl, you know, thanks, sister, for that great question. We are praying for goodness. We're praying for understanding. We're praying that schools are for education. Cinema halls are for laughter and cries and tears of enjoyment. Hospitals are only for healing and betterment. And airports are for traveling and enjoying the cities that people transit in. We don't want metal detectors everywhere. We don't want guards and security guards laced with guns and ammunition everywhere. And we don't want a world that lives in fear because we have accepted fear to run us and not goodness. That being said, Carl, as you close, I want to ask all our listeners tonight, we want you to pitch us ideas for a Raw Islam t-shirt. In the name of Venn Network, we had some ideas, but they were borderline haram police. Can we have that siren? So they were borderline haram police t-shirts, but we loved the ideas. We want to hear ideas from you, and we'll put together a t-shirt that you can wear for Raw Islam that kind of really addresses smack on problems that people don't want to talk about. You know, a picture speaks a thousand words. So we look forward to your ideas and suggestions, inshallah.
Inshallah. And since the cat is kind of out of the bag here with that, the Haram Police t-shirt will be coming soon. Let us just get there. We're working with some different artists, and we'll make that happen. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, for a second time this evening, we have reached the end of another amazing Raw Islam podcast. I would like to thank all of our watchers online who were extremely numerous this evening. Masha Allah, alhamdulillah. I would like to thank Ariana for her comments and joining us in the chat room. I'd like to thank Imam Azhar for taking time out of his day to join us. And now that he's on the mend, he's back and he's making it happen. Masha Allah, alhamdulillah, he is back. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to a third ending of the show. Until next week, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Of Muslims entering the United States. First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.